Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Broken down, life is a series of choices. Some of them feel little bitty at the time. Some of them seem massive. Sometimes it's hard to know what decision to make. Other times we think, we got this. This one's pretty simple. At times we rely on experience, past precedent. At times we rely on our gut. At times we crunch the numbers. And that's not just true of sports and analytics. It's also true when we're contemplating a major purchase of some sort. We like to look at the odds. We like to go pros and cons. And here's what else is true about all of our choices in life. No matter how they seem at the time, the hindsight is crystal clear. The hindsight is 20/20. And sometimes those choices work out. Sometimes they don't. But very often, we look back on our choices and they're either validated or they're negated based on the outcome. I mean, let's be honest. Life is an outcome-based reality, as is sports. Now, I would say this. In sports, we don't like moral victories. We tend to poo-poo them because you are what your record says you are. But in real life, because sports is a microcosm of real life, but it's also for us entertainment. In real life, it's more than just outcomes that matter. It's also about the journey. It's also about the growth. It's also about the struggle. It's also about the character that we build along the way and the wisdom and the experience that we pick up. So it's not as black and white as it may seem. But yeah, in the United States of America and in sports in the United States of America, very often we evaluate the choices solely based on the outcomes. And we decide whether or not it was a great choice based on the result, which tends to then limit our perspective. It's kind of interesting to apply that to Monday Night Football. Do you know, and I'm sure that some of you have looked at the stats, but do you know the Giants and the Falcons produced almost identical stats from Monday Night Football? And I mean almost identical. They had almost the same number of first downs. Their percentage on third down is about the same. They had exactly the same number of plays, 62 each. Their total yardage was separated by just 10 yards. Their yards per play, almost exactly the same. Matt Ryan and Eli Manning had very similar passing numbers and a very similar quarterback rating. The Falcons averaged 8.5 yards per pass. Eli Manning, 8.9 yards per pass. They had about the same number of rushing yards as well as the same average per rush. Their penalties were about the same, though the Giants were punished a little bit more when it came to penalties. And the Falcons had the ball an extra few minutes. Falcons had one turnover. Giants had none. But the Giants were in the red zone 5 times, whereas the Falcons were not. And therein lies the one major difference between these two teams on Monday Night Football. The Giants were 0-for in the red zone. They never got into the red zone. They had a bunch of huge plays when they needed them. Big plays downfield. Whereas the Giants in the red zone couldn't capitalize on the opportunities. That's the one glaring difference, which makes some of the Giants' choices, especially in the second half of Monday Night Football, come under scrutiny. If these choices work out, if the execution of said choices play out differently, many Giants fans and football fans are evaluating not just this game, but the team a whole lot differently. And instead, despite nearly identical numbers for Monday Night Football, it's a win for the Falcons and a lot of second guessing of the choices that the Giants made. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Our second show of the work week. I'm fired up. Inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, the poll is still live. Obviously doesn't take into account Monday Night Football. So if you would like to quote the tweet or reply to the tweet and add someone different, you can do that. You can also weigh in on our Facebook page. So either Twitter or Facebook. For me, it's A-Law Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It wasn't just Monday Night Football. We have a bunch of QB news that you will be able to sink your teeth into a little bit later on. And another blockbuster trade for the Oakland Raiders. Count them. 1, 2, 3 first-round picks in 2019. However, those first-round picks don't help you win now, which is what John Gruden sold to his locker room. So how close is the locker room to saying, thanks but no thanks, Coach Gruden? How close is the locker room to a coup? And how many more Raiders might get traded in what is a big-time rebuilding project? Here's the thing that is a little bit confusing to me, and we'll talk a lot more about this both from the Raiders' perspective and from the Cowboys' perspective. They get a legit number one wide receiver. I guess Jerry Jones finally gave up on the whole idea of wide receiver by committee. He decided, okay, you know what? We do, in fact, need a number one wide receiver. And so the Cowboys get one. Cowboys fans, how you feeling about it? I want to hear from you. But from the perspective of the Raiders, and I know we have a lot of listeners in the Bay Area, even more at the top of next hour, can you be patient? And the thing that kind of gets me confused, the Raiders are the oldest team in the NFL. On average, they have the oldest age, collective age of their players in the NFL. And now in the first 2 months of the season, they've traded away two guys in their 20s, which of course skews the average even further toward the old guys, which, you know, I love the old guys in sports, but how does that help you rebuild? You get rid of the young guys and you stick with the older guys. But we're going to welcome a member of the Raiders media who's going to join us from San Jose at the top of next hour. He covers the Raiders exclusively and we'll get some answers from him. So far, nothing from John Gruden. He will speak to the media on Tuesday, but Reggie McKenzie of the Raiders, their general manager, has completely explained the choice to trade Amari Cooper to the Cowboys.
So a skunk got loose in our tunnel.
That's why, right there. That's all you need to know. Choices. Life is a series of choices. The skunk freaked everybody out. So you can find me on Twitter again, A-Law Radio, to respond to anything from week 7 in the NFL, from Monday Night Football, from the big trade, and also on our Facebook page. I'd love you just to tell me, what's your reaction to this trade? We're going to give you some reaction from around the National Football League, but you as fans, what's your reaction to this choice by the Raiders and this choice by the Cowboys to give up a first-round pick? Again, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I mentioned this a couple times last week, because the numbers are astounding. In Matt Ryan's last four games, 374 passing yards. This goes back to September. 419 passing yards. 285. Oh, no, he had a bad game. Only 285 passing yards. And then 355 yards in week 6. Do you know what he followed it up with in week 7? Oh, only another 379 passing yards. Matt Ryan, if not for a couple of close games in which the defense could not hold their opponent at bay, and that includes games inside Mercedes-Benz, he might be the front runner for the MVP award.
No huddle, back to pass on first and 10. Ryan winds up, one arching spiral. He's got a receiver over the shoulder, catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Marvin Hall! What a throw! And what a catch! Touchdown, Atlanta! 47 yards! Coleman back in, I formation, 30-yard line of the Giants, third and one. The pitch out to Coleman over the right tackle. Van Brock, he's on the 25, he's on the 20. They're chasing him to the number 15. He angles to the tight end, the 5. He's down and touchdown, running to the far sideline with a great burst was Tevin Coleman. Getting blocks, weaving through defenders. Goes in for the Atlanta Falcons.
We have confidence in the run game. We have confidence in the pass game. And, you know, whatever's hot that day or whatever our advantage is, we feel good about going either direction.
So Matt Ryan and the Falcons offense is extremely confident right now. And why not? I told you the number of passing yards he ends up with, 31 of 39. And that includes connecting on his final 18 pass attempts. He did not miss, credit his receivers as well, on his final 18 passing attempts. He ends up with nearly 10 yards per pass. He does have the touchdown in there that you heard with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner on the Westwood One radio network. Another fantastic night for Matt Ryan and for his receiving core. Julio Jones, 9 catches, over 100 yards. And do you know that Ryan completed passes to, count them, 10 different receivers in this game, including Marvin Hall, who ends up with the long touchdown that got us started on the scoring. Thank heavens, because I was desperate for points. I mean, I don't mind a defensive struggle. You know what? Give me a little slugfest now and then. I find that to be highly entertaining. But I'd prefer a few points per half. And actually, the Falcons did not score in either the first or the third quarters. So they were second and fourth quarter action. But they end up with their second consecutive win. And it's really nice to go into a bye week on that kind of momentum.
It was in the fourth quarter, and we'd kicked a 50-yard field goal. And we came back, the defense went 3 and out, and on the ensuing drive, 9 plays, a touchdown drive, capped off by Tico to make the game 20-6. Those are the moments that we've been searching for to find, to make sure when they come, one group gives it to the next and they pass it and keep going.
We need some rest. We've had different guys banged up at different times. All of us need a rest to kind of refresh and get ready for the second half of the season.
So Dan Quinn, Matt Ryan, cruising into the bye week are the Falcons. And I know that the NFC South is a difficult division in which to make up a lot of ground, but there's also a lot of time, as Ryan points out. The Saints are on the top of the NFC South with their 5 consecutive wins, one of those being against the Atlanta Falcons. The Panthers are 4-2, thanks to that huge comeback against the Eagles on Sunday. The Buccaneers are 3-3. They finally got their third win. And now the Falcons are 3-4. So they have a game on the Saints because the Saints have already had their bye. They're only 2.5 games back of the Saints. Anything is possible when you still have more than half the season left to play. And if the Falcons defense can remain healthy, they got a couple of guys back now, as Coach Quinn mentioned. The second half could look a whole lot different for them. But I'm not kidding. The numbers that Matt Ryan is putting up right now are phenomenal, even in today's gaudy, pass-happy NFL. Believe it or not, Eli Manning's numbers were almost the same. And yet, it is popular, it is trendy to pile on the Giants.
No, Eli's loud.
Yeah, you don't want to believe me, but I'm telling you, this game came down to a couple of different choices because the numbers are almost exactly the same for both the quarterbacks as well as the team overall. But a win is a win is a win is a win. And in pro sports, there aren't many moral victories. Thank heavens we get those in life. Coming up, we'll address the Giants' choices on which this game hinged. There were a few of them that were critical and major turning points. And you'll hear from Eli Manning, as well as Odell Beckham Jr. Who doesn't want to hear from OBJ? I do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You want to see a picture of my mother-in-law? Neither do I.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Down to 13 seconds to go. Manning just lobbed one left for Beckham. Makes the catch back at the end zone, and he's got it for the touchdown. I don't know how he caught it, but there's only 5 seconds remaining.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of the choices of the Giants and the offenses and the coaching staff that will be questioned. Yes, it was a touchdown with 5 seconds remaining, as you hear with Bob Papa on the Giants Radio Network. However, why did it take that long? The clock management at the end of the game with, at that point, knowing that a touchdown brings you within a score if you can also convert the two-pointer, which they did. This is late in the game, of course. You would think you'd be in hurry-up mode to try to get that touchdown so there's still a last-ditch attempt for an onside kick and potentially a recovery and a long field goal attempt. Now, I know it's a long shot, but it was odd how much time got wasted on that final touchdown drive where Eli twice tries to quarterback sneak from the one-yard line. And in the meantime, the clock goes from 41 seconds down to 5 seconds until they get the Eli Manning touchdown pass to Odell Beckham Jr. And then the two-point conversion. So the second time they try the two-pointer, it works. First time, not so much. And boy, did that set off a firestorm on football Twitter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Asking you even now to go ahead and send me your reaction, or if you want to load up the phones, you can let me know your reaction to the Amari Cooper trade to the Dallas Cowboys. I know we have a lot of fans of both teams, the Raiders and the Cowboys, who listen. And so our phone number, we'll do some calls before the top of the hour, along with Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also, a Twizzler Tuesday question at the bottom of the hour following the update that has nothing to do with sports, but I have no doubt there will be hundreds of answers. It's very current event-ish, and so you're going to like it. No, it's not politics. You know I don't do politics on the show, but it's very much current events. Current event-ish, yes. I feel as though I can invent words if President George W. Bush can come up with strategery, which has long outlived his presidency, that I can come up with current event-ish. John Fass is here in studio questioning my words. I don't understand why you would do that.
Oh, no, I wasn't questioning anything. I liked it. It's current event-ish.
It is current event-ish. Do you know exactly what I'm talking about?
I don't know. I know what you're implying. I don't know what the question is.
Would you like to know?
Sure.
So in the middle of my talking about the Giants, fine. I'll tell you the Twizzler Tuesday question that's current event-ish. Did you know that the big lottery jackpot is worth $1.6 billion with a B dollars in Tuesday's drawing. $1.6 billion. I've never heard of that. I don't know if it's a record. I don't play lottery, but I have never heard of that kind of a jackpot.
It's a world record.
That's what I mean. It's
record. No country has ever had a jackpot this high.
That's total insanity. And so what I want to know from people is how many tickets they purchased, if they are doing it just because of how much money it is, or if they normally play the lottery, where they're playing the lottery, all that kind of stuff.
I only play the lottery when it gets insanely large like this, which is silly. I mean, it's
$1.6 billion is ridiculous. Yeah.
And what the other one? One is Mega Millions, one's Powerball.
I think Powerball's later in the week.
That one's like $600 million.
Right.
I don't want to waste my time with that one. I only want the $1.6 billion.
Listen to this. I heard on the news that you have a better chance of dying in a shark attack than you do, and that's assuming, you know, you ever go in the water. You have a better chance of dying in a shark attack than you do of winning this $1.6 billion.
If you live in Kansas, you have a better chance of dying in a shark attack.
Yeah, that's right. You know, or Oklahoma, landlocked state.
Yeah,
yes.
You need a Sharknado. That's more likely than winning
the
lottery.
You're more likely to go into space than you are to win this Powerball.
But here,
this Mega Millions jackpot.
But here's the deal. Of course, the odds are insane. But whoever wins it is going to have the exact same insane odds as every other loser that buys a ticket and doesn't. So why not?
Good point, except that it's probably not going to be you. So... good. I mean, I know what you're saying, but the odds are so slim that it's probably not going to be you.
Of course not, but it's going to be somebody.
How many tickets did you buy?
Zero, yeah. But I usually, when it gets this big, I usually buy five of each. So I'll buy five Mega Millions and five Powerball.
I mean, Powerball is
and I will be
minuscule.
At work after I win.
You will?
Absolutely.
Only
not.
For
I'm
that
totally
night?
Totally kidding.
And
no.
Then you're done. Oh,
no. For that
what, you're
night.
Just going to stiff us?
Absolutely.
Get out.
No,
oh, my gosh.
If I was already on the schedule, I would. No, once the schedule's made, I would honor my commitment.
Okay, great. So
and then I would,
once you get the money, honor flies out the window.
Well, no, just, yeah, maybe, yeah. Come to think of it, you're right. It would.
It's very current eventish.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, well, John Fast, thank you so much for being part of the show, at least for, you know, the last couple of times before you become a billionaire. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So he spoiled it. He was in here when I was talking about the Twizzler Tuesday question and teasing it. And so I will put it out there now. As we say, sayonara Monday. You know what would make this week so much better is if you won $1.6 billion.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Heck, if you even won just part of that Mega Millions jackpot, will someone please confirm, is it Mega Millions? Because... I don't actually play lottery. I think Powerball's later in the week, but I think this is the Mega Millions. $1.6 billion is redonkulous, absolutely redonkulous. But I want to know from you, how many tickets have you purchased and whether or not this is a regular thing for you? Have you ever won before? No one's ever won this kind of money. But, you know, what's your history with lottery, with Mega Millions? Or is this something that you're doing just because the jackpot is so big? As though... $1 million wouldn't change your life forever, but $1.6 billion, now you're talking. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That is our Twizzler Tuesday question. All right, couple things for the Giants before we get to the update at the bottom of the hour. So the second half featured some interesting choices by Pat Shurmur, by Eli Manning, of course, by the Giants overall. The start of the third quarter... instead of going for a field goal at the 1 yard line, they decide to go for the touchdown on fourth down from essentially just outside the goal line. This was the gif that you'll see over and over on football Twitter because Eli is looking left and Odell Beckham Jr. is wide open, cutting toward the corner to Eli's right. And so Eli missed him. He absolutely did miss him. And Pat Shurmur was caught on video saying, why not throw it to Odell or something of the sort. I might be paraphrasing, but you don't even need to read lips to know that the play was drawn up for Odell and Odell was wide open and Eli essentially never looked his way. He missed him. Quarterbacks miss, guys. It happens. So that was one particular choice, though, that you'd think came back to bite them. In hindsight, they leave those 3 points on the board and, ooh, anybody? This is a pop quiz. Anybody want to tell me how many points they lost by? Oh, right. Okay. 3 points. So that was at the start of the third quarter. Of course, there was a lot of game left to go. How about then the Giants finally putting together an extended drive, finally. It was almost like they had to fall far enough behind to actually put together an extended touchdown drive. It was midway through the fourth quarter. Saquon Barkley gets the 2 yard touchdown run and the Giants are trailing by 8 and they decide to go for 2. This also set up a firestorm on football Twitter. A huge debate ensues, which, okay, I'm more conventional. So I would think you'd go for the kick and then pull yourself within 7 points. However, you're still at a one possession deficit, right? So the idea is that if you get the two, then the next touchdown you would score, the extra point would win it. That's the analytics behind it. But of course, it's a risk because if you don't get the 2-point conversion, you're still down by 8, which means if you would get another touchdown, you'd have to have the 2-point conversion just to tie. But do you understand the analytics behind it? There are some teams who are preferring to go for the win and set themselves up for a win, even when standard procedure would tell you get the automatic kick or as automatic as you normally get from Justin Tucker, and you go ahead then and you set yourself up for the tie at the end of the game, or you can go for two at the end of the game and you can win it. But it's kind of reverse psychology, really, for the New York Giants. So those are some interesting choices by Pat Shurmur and the Giants, in addition to the clock management at the end of the game. But honestly, that's what this game boiled down to. Some odd choices that didn't quite pan out, and I really don't have any issues with the going for two, because you'd have to score another touchdown anyway, and they did later convert on the 2-point conversion. My issue is leaving the points on the board when you're at the 1-yard line and you're struggling to score. I say take the field goal. Take the field goal rather than going for it on fourth down when your offense has really struggled to that point. And also the wasting of the time off the clock at the end of the game. I know it was a long shot. Very likely they weren't going to convert the onside kick and get the ball back. And even if they did, they would be hard-pressed to get into field goal range that quickly. But you could still try. And so those are some questionable choices for the Giants. And we've had a series of those this season for New York, which is a big reason why they're 1-6. And also a big reason why Odell Beckham Jr. will tell you, we don't feel like we're a 1-6 team. All right, A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Your Twizzler Tuesday question, it's already out there. Coming up on Tuesday, Mega Millions is $1.6 billion. Are you buying tickets? How many tickets? Where are you buying tickets? Do you normally buy tickets? Did you know that you're more likely to get killed in a shark attack than to win this Mega Millions jackpot? Not to rain on your parade, but speak to me about the lottery. So either on Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's a bite me. That's what it is. Here's our latest sports update. Oh, and we'll get to your calls about the Cowboys.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Ball is at the Browns 8-yard line. Lynch back in as the running back. To the left of Carr, who's in the gun. He has three receivers. He's going to throw it. Comes back to the right, has time, touchdown! Goes to Amari Cooper in the middle of the field, and that's what the doctor ordered.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It is the touchdown that Amari Cooper has this season. He's just got one. 22 catches, 280 yards, and one score in 6 games. The Raiders Radio Network. Not that touchdowns are the best gauge of a receiver. Before we get to your calls, I got to tell you, I was listening to the Westwood One postgame show following the Falcons' victory, and Julio Jones was the postgame guest with Laura Oakman, who was doing sidelines along with Kurt Warner and Kevin Harlan. And I was fascinated by this question that she asked him. She essentially said to him, why don't you demand the ball like many other wide receivers do? Why don't you make a huge deal of the fact that you don't have as many touchdowns or that your quarterback isn't targeting you constantly in the red zone? Why aren't you out there clamoring for more balls coming your way, but specifically more opportunities to catch touchdown passes? And his answer blew me away.
You know, it's a team sport. I want to win. You know, at the end of the day, I'm out there. I demand 2 and 3 guys on me at a time. I'm doing my job. That's all it is. In life, do your job. You know, somebody else can't tell you how to do your job. I'm getting doubled. I'm getting triple teamed. I mean, it happens. Defensive coordinators, they know I can take over a game. I done it for years. You know, they just trying to slow me down. But I'm not the type of guy that'll pout or be a counselor to the team. You know, by me demanding or wanting a touchdown or anything like that, you know, it causes a distraction not only for me, but for the quarterback and everybody else, the OC and everybody else. You know, the offense won't move as smoothly as it's going.
How about that? Julio Jones giving a great answer to Laura Oakman on Westwood One following the game. He had a lot of yards, a lot of catches, 9 of them for 104 yards, but no touchdowns. And he tells her, my job is to go out there and catch what they throw to me. And when I'm not catching the ball, what I'm doing is making life miserable for opposing defensive coordinators because I command 2 and 3 guys. Do your job. And he also said, if you pout, if you focus on yourself, if you are publicly demanding the ball, all you're doing is making life more difficult for your team and for your OC and for your coaches. I'm not going to pout. I'm not going to be a distraction. Yet another reason to love Julio Jones. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So our Twizzler Tuesday question, because we're ready to get Monday out of the way. See ya, Monday. Twizzler Tuesday question. Have you bought lottery tickets? How many? Is this normal for you? Or is this something special you're doing? Because the Mega Millions jackpot on Tuesday is $1.6 billion. It's the B word. $1.6 billion, which is total insanity. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. See, it's free. You don't have to pay any money to be on the air with us. 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Malcolm is listening in Dallas and wants to talk about the Amari Cooper trade. What do you think?
I was wondering what your thoughts were on the Cowboys giving them a first-round pick.
Well, I asked you first, so you tell me, and then I'll tell you.
Oh, okay, my bad. I think it was kind of a waste of a pick whenever they have Michael Gallup. Honestly, I think he could end up being a better receiver than Amari Cooper, but I feel like the Cooper trade could help him progress in a way.
All right. I mean, Gallup's early. There's a lot of people that like him. And you're right. He could develop into an even better receiver. Maybe he's the number one, but I don't know that you can have too many good receivers. As far as the number one pick goes, the whole idea behind number one picks is not that you get a guaranteed product, because that's not always the case, but that you get a guy for cheap. Cheaper, right, for 4 or 5 years, depending upon his contract. And I think in the case of Cooper, what people forget is he's only 24 years old. The Cowboys were likely to draft a guy in the first round who was going to be a receiver in the spring anyway. So now you get a guy with a couple of years under his belt, and especially if you're not giving up on this season. It's definitely a steep price to pay. Reggie McKenzie wasn't going to trade Amari Cooper without a number one pick, and that's why he essentially had rebuffed all other offers. He had gotten other offers and he was holding out for a first round pick because that's what the Raiders want. I don't think it's devastating for the Cowboys because they probably were going to draft a receiver and now you get a guy with a little bit of experience. I'm a big believer in Amari Cooper. The issue, a couple of issues, drops has been a major issue, and also health. Can he stay healthy? And maybe what he needs is something new. Maybe a fresh start will give him a new lease on his football life.
For sure.
But he's only 24. I mean, if we forget, he's been in the league for a couple of years, but he's only 24.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that he's barely even older than Calvin Ridley, so I'd rather take him over.
Yeah, I mean, he's at least got some NFL seasons under his belt. First 2 years were back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons. The last 2 years have been, you know, struggled. There have been some injuries in there. And, you know, the Raiders themselves have struggled offensively, so it's not all Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love the trade, though. I was just kind of skeptical about the first-round pick.
I mean, it's definitely a high price to pay, but let's say Cooper steps on the field and he all of a sudden becomes the Cowboys' number one target. He's able to stretch the field, something they've really been missing. Then would you say that number one pick was worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that NFC East division is still up for grabs.
All right, well, I appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, Malcolm. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you.
Dalton is in Arlington, Texas. Dalton, what's your perspective on the Amari Cooper trade?
Hey. So on the lottery ticket situation, I spent $2 on a lottery ticket,
But I think I have a better chance of winning the lottery than seeing the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Oh,
I hate to say it. But I just think the Amari Cooper trade doesn't make sense to me. I don't like it. I would rather have Dez Bryant back and keep a first-round pick.
Ah.
But to me, it kind of sends a message like, yeah, we're going to be an 8-18, and we're just in the middle of, like, the draft pick, probably like the 16th to like 18th, you know, around that middle teen rounds. Like, they're not really giving up much for it, really. But I don't really like the trade. I didn't really like Amari Cooper when he was with the Raiders. Wasn't a big fan. I don't think he can catch too well. I'm just not a big fan of Amari Cooper, and I'd rather have the first round pick or Dez Bryant, in my opinion.
Okay. Let me ask you this though. What do you mean by it sends a message? You think that
like
that making this trade tells the rest of the team that they're not interested in winning?
We're going to be a middle of the road team. We're already, they haven't won on the road. They're 3-4, so it's like, okay, so we're not going to have a really good first-round pick, but we're not going to be later. This middle-of-the-road team, I don't see much change from, like, previous years. And with Dak Prescott's kind of style, he's not more kind of quarterback to really air it out too much. And I don't know if they've just been kind of keeping a leash on him or what, but it just seems like it doesn't really fit his style. And I just seem kind of, like, scratch my head on that one. Like, you could have spent that first-round pick on maybe depth on the line or – you know, something on your line, your defensive line, maybe, because you got the Marcus Lawrence situation coming up. You got a lot of defensive players, a lot of turnover coming up. So I just figured could have used a different, better opportunity with that first round pick, or maybe go and get someone else for it.
Now, that's are you thought. Happy with their receiving core as is?
Well, like pretty much every Cowboys fan, I'm pretty high on Michael Gallup. Cole Beasley, I think he's about to be a free agent, and Allen Hurns hasn't done much, but wide receivers isn't really their MO. They're mostly like a run team, go for it. So I mean, I feel like maybe wide receivers, they can just kind of, I don't know, I really guess I don't value that position as much as I probably
The reason, I mean, I get Ezekiel Elliott is extremely valuable, but they could be a downfield team. They were when Tony Romo was chucking the ball. And as for
that was worth Romo, yeah.
Yeah, Dak, I would say this about Dak, and I've heard former MVPs in the NFL talk about this as well as other QBs. He's playing it safe. So it's a combination of both the conservative approach of Jason Garrett as well as the fact that Dak is playing it safe. And a lot of times that has to do with the trust that you either have or don't have, the rhythm that you either have or don't have with your receiver. So that's going to be a question with Amari Cooper. We know he can catch the ball. With Michael Gallup, he's relatively new. Obviously, they're trying to figure out the safest and not just safest, but the most reliable option at tight end. So there's a lot of transition. So I don't know. I feel like if Cooper can step on the field and if he can not drop the ball as much as it did last year, that this this could be something that immediately gives Dak, other options. It also makes him a little more comfortable throwing the ball downfield. But we'll see. I mean, hindsight will be 20/20. It might be worth the number one pick if they make the playoffs. You never know.
All right, cool. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Dalton. I appreciate you calling in from Arlington. We will take more of your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Some of you also answering our Twizzler Tuesday question. Amber says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I bought 4 tickets, which is $8 worth. I play every so often if I get the bug to be silly. Playing, yes, big jackpot. The most I won was $3,000 in a scratch-off that I received on my 50th birthday. That's awesome. She said a girlfriend gave her a gag gift and she ended up winning $3,000. Well, I want to win $3,000. What's that about? Another tweet, I've never won before, but I have a good feeling about this one. Hashtag one lucky ticket. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.